Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
So sporty.
Oh, yeah.
Sports and sports and sports. Sports in your face. Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
My final hour, Felger Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub, FM dial in Boston, simulcast across New England and the country on NBC Sports Boston, anytime, anywhere on the app, 98.5, the Sports Hub app. Download that to your phone. It's a tremendous product. If you're watching on the simulcast, you don't hear the top of the hour update. The breaking news with the Patriots is that they've released receiver Kenny Britt, who never got on the field with the hamstring injury, someone that they were counting on, I think, banking on, or have liked here for years, as Maz points out. And the fella could just, he's a troubled player his entire career, could never get on the field here. And so cross him off the list as well. All these sort of veteran stopgaps that they brought in, Kenny Britt, Jordan Matthews, Decker to this point, have really done nothing.
I mean, they all look like bums, really. They do. Belichick loves him some Kenny Britt, man. He does. He can't get enough of that guy. Give it about 6 weeks and they'll sign him again.
Okay, so there's your reset on everything. Your phone's on everything here in the final hour. Joey in Londonderry on the Red Sox. Go, Joey.
Hey, Felger, can you take criticism at all?
Yes, sir.
At all, without hanging up on me? Okay, well, you're being a transplant, like a moron. You did the same thing with the Jacksonville game last year.
So hold on, Joey, I am going to interrupt because I know where you're going. I wasn't here in 1978.
No, I'm sorry. No, you don't.
Go.
You didn't? No, okay, listen. The Red Sox got an 8-game lead. Trust me, I'm comfortable with that. But there's a lot of baseball left. That could get cut down so quick, especially with the teams they got coming, and they have the season, the end season with the Yankees. It's not a lock yet. It's comfortable, but it's far from a lock.
Okay, but what does it have to do with me being from Milwaukee versus Boston?
Because what you're doing is, you're making it sound like they have a huge lead and it's going to be foolish for them.
Well, no. But what does you being from Londonderry, New Hampshire, make you, I don't know, how does that change the lead in the division? I don't get it.
You being a transplant, what are you talking about?
Yeah, what does me being a transplant have to do with your lead?
Because what it's showing is that you really don't, you're hoping that the Red Sox lose their lead. That's what you're hoping for. You're making it sound like, yeah, they have a huge lead, and now they're going to blow it. And that's what you're hoping for. Same thing with the Jacksonville game with the Patriots last year.
Okay.
You know?
All right, I'm sorry.
You haven't lived it. You haven't been through a lot of pain, Felga.
I said you're not going to lose it. You're not going to lose this division lead, and that's just based on a neutral analysis of it. I think that makes that analysis more valuable. I look at your schedule and see Florida, the Mets, the White Sox, the Rays, the Jays on your schedule and say, you're not going to lose this lead. Even if you play poorly, you're not going to lose this lead. That's just a cold, hard analysis.
So. Yeah, here's what I would tell that guy. I grew up in Watertown. We moved to Waltham when I was 13. The division's over. Okay? Division's over. I've been here my whole life. I went to college here. I worked here. It's over. 78 ain't happening again. Take that and shove it.
And if you care, I was pulling for you in 78. I remember it very well. A 9-year-old kid walking home from school, sitting on my dad's bed, watching that afternoon playoff game, that one gamer against the Yankees. I remember it well. I remember it extremely well and being very upset when the Red Sox lost.
See, you know what I'm really starting to love about this is that all year long I've been saying they're not as good as their win total. The win total's inflated because of the league. They're a good team, but they're not a 115-win team.
Are you saying it almost
now,
an asterisk?
Now they get to this stage, and they are, you know, they were 10 up with 40 to go. It's 8 up with 35 to go. Whatever the number is, the math is in their favor, and the division's over. And now that guy's calling me, telling me anything can happen. So they must not be as good as their win total, I guess, even though for all year, I was the a-hole.
Murray, can we bring back the whiteboard?
No, we're not putting the asterisk back on this.
Why not?
Because.
Tell you what, Murray.
I already removed it. They're a good team. We don't have to worry about the division. It's not coming back for the regular season.
I do want the whiteboard back. Even if there's no asterisk on it, I want the board.
Mike and Woober. Same. Mike and Woober wants to weigh in on the Kyrie Irving thing. Go ahead, Mike.
Mike, I think you're venturing into Nick Wright territory here. Listen, what did Cleveland ultimately win? What did they win? They got absolutely freaking bum-rushed in the freaking finals. They got LeBron finished his 4-year term in Cleveland and took his candidacy out to L.A. They're left with something called an anti-Zizic and a freaking the eighth overall pick, which please don't correlate that to Kobe Bryant. That's a joke.
Well, no, Murray's the one who decided to go through draft picks in that range. That wasn't me, Mike.
Right.
If they had kept Kyrie Irving, all the things that you're saying would have happened exactly the same.
That's the thing. They couldn't keep him, so they had to shop for something.
Of course, we could have kept him.
Mike, a year ago today, why were we all doing backflips about this trade? Because none of the young players were included. Not one of them. Not Tatum. Not Brown. Not freaking Smart.
You're not hearing me, Mike.
Not even Scary Terry.
Mike, ultimately, if Cleveland had kept Kyrie Irving, the same thing would have happened to him. They would have gone to the finals, gotten poleaxed.
No, Mike, but you're missing the point. They had to deal Kyrie. Kyrie said, I want to leave. So Cleveland should have, and what they tried to do was they tried to make a win-now deal by trading for the best player on the Celtics at the time.
You're missing it.
Player.
The key to that trade was the lottery pick.
I'm not missing it, Mike.
Yeah. Mike, LeBron never wanted Isaiah Thomas. He was superfluous. He was ancillary to the trade. It was all about the lottery pick.
If LeBron never wanted him, then why did they spin him off after the deal like most teams do? Why did they keep him until he lost absolutely all value whatsoever and then had the Isaiah Thomas yard sale at the deadline?
They traded him at the first opportunity. It was never about Isaiah Thomas. And I've never said it was about. It was about the lottery pick.
The Cavs were shopping Isaiah Thomas before he came back from his hip injury.
Thank you. They never wanted Isaiah. It was an ancillary piece. All those guys were. Crowder, Zizic, Isaiah. It's not about that. Never was about that. Never was about it. It's all about that lottery pick. And Cleveland, if they had kept Kyrie would have broken. He either would have shut it down all year, like Kawhi Leonard did, or he would have gotten hurt in the middle of the year, like he did with you, and they wouldn't have had him. They still would have beat you, because they still beat you, and they would have gone to the finals and gotten poleaxed, just like they did the year before. So instead of going through all that and having nothing here, they just made a lottery pick. I think they did okay. Now, have teams done better in that situation? I think we found one. I think Indiana did better with the Oladipo trade than Cleveland did. But that doesn't mean Cleveland did poorly. But ultimately, they'll lose the trade. Ultimately, Kyrie's going to take you to the finals. Or Danny will flip Kyrie for something good down the road because Danny's just an excellent trader. And ultimately, you'll be able to piece it together and say, what asshats Cleveland were. And you won the trade. I'm just telling you, at this snapshot, you're not there yet. You're just not.
Yeah, you're completely overlooking what Kyrie gave the Celtics at the beginning of the year.
I suppose I am.
You are. Not suppose, you are.
We have
And there's no think about the Indiana trade. The Pacers did better than Cleveland did.
Yeah, they did.
If Cleveland looks back and says with 2 years left, what we got for Kyrie Irving was the number 8 pick, not good enough. Mm. Not good enough.
I think it's all right. I
think it sucks.
San Antonio got DeMar DeRozan, who's a out of shape loser, head case.
He's still a top 30 player in the league.
You hate him.
It doesn't matter if I hate him. That's an opinion. The reality is that he's one of the better players in the league. How many times has he been in the All-Star game?
I just think you're in a tough spot with those guys. And a lot of these teams have been in it with superstars who are at the end of their contract and don't want to be there. So you can't get full value because they're flight risks. And they're sort of rentals for these teams, and so you're taking a flawed star like DeRozan, or you're taking a lottery pick from the Celtics, which I don't think is a horrible return. It turned out when they made the Oladipo trade, we all hated it because we just sort of underestimated what Oladipo is. Turns out they did pretty good with that. So I'm not telling you Cleveland did the best, but I think they did better than you in year one. Phelps and Brighton on the Red Sox. Hi, Phelps.
Hey, how's it going? You were asking that guy what you being a transplant had to do with your views on the Red Sox. And I think they're a perfect look at the nature versus nurture. Any Red Sox fan over 40, say 45, they've been getting shoved in a locker and their lunch money taken by the Yankees so long.
So, right, he's talking about 78. When he says that, that's what he really means.
Yeah, he didn't want to go back there.
You weren't here to know, Felger, all the times we've blown these leads. And that's the only thing you have to think that you're losing this division, because you're not.
I can't believe there are Red Sox fans that still think that way. Like, that, to me, that's all gone. That's dead. Like, and if they blow it...
I don't think these people realize that it's okay to go outside. And that... I think as David Ortiz would say, there are a bunch of scared people that are just a little too scared. They need to relax.
Phelps, thanks for the call. But the number of callers and people who've brought up 78 is just
Yeah, and they're all 65 or older.
That's the baseball demo.
It is. It's a, yeah, but I don't know. I don't feel like the young people are as alarmed by it.
How could they be? The young people have won.
Exactly. Like, which is why I'm stunned that these people are still sort of caught up in 78. Yeah, do you remember 78? Yeah, I remember it. It was a long time ago. Why don't you take me back to 1946 while we're at it?
You're going to be acting like a little bitch.
How many? Yeah, thank you. That's exactly the cut I thought the guy was referencing.
You're going to be acting like a little bitch.
A scared little bitch on top of it. And that's what I think it's become, a bunch of scared little bitches. They're not losing the division.
Yeah, and Pesky hesitated throwing the ball with Enos Slaughter coming around second.
Harry the Hat Walker hit it.
And they shouldn't have pitched that dude on 3 days rest in 67.
Yeah, whatever. They should have started Parnell. Yeah,
should have started. But whatever.
I'm drawing a blank on the other guy.
So I'm sorry. I wasn't there for that.
Ellis Kinder.
I was here for 2011 though. That was a pretty good one.
That was a collapse. I was here for proportion.
I was here for that.
That wasn't that long ago. They've won since then though.
This amazing month.
We have all these things on the table and one open line at 617-779-0985. Right back to you after this.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
This Red Sox team at 88 victories, but trailing 6-3 here in the bottom of the eighth inning. Old friend, the left-hander Andrew Miller coming on, and the 2-2. And he puts him away.
Yeah, that slider, it almost just stops.
Mookie Betts on deck. Swung on and missed strike three. Back-to-back K's.
Oh, this guy is the slingster, man, with that slider.
Brad Hand is their closer tonight. Benintendi, 2-for-3, a double and a single, and a 2-2. And he struck him out.
You can see why they wanted to get this Brad Hand.
Oh, yeah. And with a 1-2. And he struck him out. That'll end it. So the first time in 4 months, the Red Sox lose three consecutive games. TC, 6-3. The final, the Indians take the first two.
I would not be scared for the division. That's what I would be scared for. Miller, Hand. Who's the right-hander? Throw a sidearm?
Simber.
Brad Allen. Cody Allen doesn't scare me. I feel like the Sox have had good success against him, including the other night. They didn't get the win, but they should.
Cody Allen should be in the Red Sox bullpen.
He feels more like a Sox reliever. It's true. Cody Allen, I don't necessarily put on the list, but that's a good group there in Cleveland and a manager who knows what he's doing. So add that up. If you face that in the postseason, that's going to be a
scary combination.
Scary series. No question about it. We've got Susan in Woburn on the Red Sox. Hi, Susan.
Hi.
Hi, Susan. What do you got?
Oh, hi. I was Suzanne. Sorry. I went to the game Monday night with my son, and that's all I had to see to believe that they are going to get swept in this series by the Indians.
Suzanne, how old are you?
I'm old enough. I was in sixth grade, and I watched Bucky Dent, so...
All right, don't be such
a
baby. 50s. Yeah, you're 50. I mean, like, you know, like, what's the big secret? Like, the world's going to stop because we know how old you are? Like, that one drives me bananas. No offense. But so this is it, though. Again,
it's a woman thing. It's a woman thing.
I know, but you're another person that's scarred by this thing in 78. It's like it was a long time ago.
Okay, like they said in Fever Pitch, okay, they have broken my heart more times than not. So I just went with my son, and I after that game I said they're swept. They're gonna be swept by the Indians, and when they meet them in the playoffs, they may get one win that Sail pitches, and that's it.
Suzanne, thanks for the call.
Okay, so the second thing might be true,
but she's not like that's fair.
Yeah, worrying about the postseason, fine. I'm with you there.
A matchup with Cleveland. With Millsy and that bullpen scares me.
Yeah.
Like that's fine. But
I'm just not worried about them blowing the division.
Me neither. I mean, like, I wouldn't be.
Like, you have to be really broken to think that they're going to blow this division.
Oh, yeah, no.
And I'm typically like that, but they, like, please. No, that's not happening.
I don't know. These people are broken. Yeah, Suzanne sounded fixed to me. Like, I think she's sort of back on track. She seemed to have a sense of humor about it. But the others, they're broken, Mari.
Another thing to consider is, you know, what you're doing here with Nathan Eovaldi and what his future is and how you're going to use him. I mean, first two starts didn't allow a run. First two starts... 0.00 ERA, 0.53 whip, 143 batting average against, first two starts. Last three, he's 0-1 with a 6.23 ERA, a 2.31 whip, and a 4.09 batting average against. Like, I mean, he wasn't even that bad last night, but...
Is that bad, those numbers you read? Those bad? 4.09, is that bad?
Giving up... giving him a 409 average to opposing hitter, a 231 whip. So what are you doing with this guy now?
So look, to
me, is he still in your rotation or is he the bullpen guy?
Well, look, I'd keep going as of right now. You're going to need him every 5 days, but at some point, bullpen. Yeah, unless it, you know, it feels to me like if Price keeps going the way he's going and Eovaldi keeps going the way he's going, well, then you know who goes to the bullpen. I mean, that's easy.
This guy feels to me, what Eovaldi feels to me like? A classic second or third time through the lineup, he's in trouble.
Pretty much.
Like, he'll get you the first time through, but when you see him and get a handle on him, you can hit him. Even though he throws hard and all that. It's got good stuff. I don't know.
Five-inning pitcher.
I just feel like that's sort of the thing. He'll get you the first couple innings, but then look out. And I don't know, maybe that, even though he's been pitching, you know, I don't know, maybe those first two starts, I don't know, a book started to get out or something. Like, I just feel, I don't know, I feel like that's what he is.
I mean, I'm not a big Eovaldi guy. I'm not. And now the stuff is not translating game to game. It's like some days he has it, some days he doesn't. The other thing is, if you get a chance, and not that anyone cares about this, watch his delivery. Watch how he, like, stumbles toward the plate when he releases the ball. The guy strikes me as the one of the more uncoordinated, unathletic guys I've seen on the mound. Just take a good look.
Okay.
He sort of stumbles off the mound.
Next time I'll try and notice it. Mike in the car on the Celtics in our Kyrie debate. Yes, Mike.
Yes, how are you guys doing? Thanks for taking my call. I want to circle back to what the comment was said earlier about how the Celtics, when Kyrie Irving was missing, they went 14-8. But in that time, they played Chicago Bulls three times, the Knicks, Orlando. But you completely dismiss the fact that they went into two seven-game series against Philadelphia and Milwaukee, and you said they wouldn't win against winning teams. They would only beat the scrub teams, but they did it in the playoffs.
It's an excellent point, Mike.
Doesn't make any sense.
No, it's an excellent point. The Celtics proved what they could do without Kyrie in the playoffs. Forget the fact that they were on a 52-win pace without him in the regular season. They won playoff games without him against, you know, presumably good postseason teams.
Yeah, no, it's a good thing Game 7 was in Boston, in that Milwaukee series. Good thing, because they went 0-3 in the road and got their asses kicked.
And then I think they straightened it out the next round.
Uh-huh.
And then,
and which never would have existed had they played Game 7 on the road.
And then they dragged Cleveland to the last, you know, quarter of the last game. So I think they proved they were a pretty good team without Kyrie Irving. They were better with Irving. I'm not telling you they were better without him. I'm not doing that. I'm just telling you that it didn't net out any, it didn't net anything out other than a couple more regular season wins, in my opinion. I think they would have won in the high 40s and still gone deep and still lost to Cleveland. And they lost a lottery pick to boot. Now they'll get an extra year out of Kyrie, so that'll help tip the scales. And when Danny re-signs him or trades his ass for a good return, then you'll really have won the trade. I'm just telling you, this was the year anniversary. And if I add up what each team got out of it after 1 year, Cleveland's ahead. It's an aggravating take, I can tell.
No, you can say it as many effing times as you want, and my opinion is not going to change. They are not putting the same one-loss record and finishing with the same seed if they don't have Kyrie.
I didn't say
And if they're on the road, if they're the 5 seed instead of the 2 seed, they lose in the first round. They lose.
I do not think that they're a one-and-done team. I think they're better than that. I mean, they weren't this year, but you're right. The home court helped. They didn't need it. They didn't need it the next round against Philly, your team. They won in 5. So I don't know if they had gotten Philly in the first round. I don't think they would have needed a home court. And really, really, I mean, and now I'm just projecting, but a game 7 in Milwaukee, they still would have won that.
Okay, so now we're predicting history.
The Bucks suck. I mean, you can strike that if you want. That's fair. Fine.
No, that's right, because you spent the entire spring telling me that all that mattered in the NBA playoffs was home court advantage. But now today we're reviewing the Kyrie Irving trade, and that fact changes.
But they've been a 48-win team for the last 3 years, 48, 53, 55. They would have been in that range with or without him.
Yeah, but you just changed the facts of what you believe depending on what argument.
No.
Sure you do. You're like a lawyer.
The home court matters.
No, you're a lawyer.
The home court matters unless it's you in Milwaukee, you would have won. But again, strike it. If the lawyer, the defense moves to strike that, stricken, strike it. I take it back.
I mean, that's all that mattered in the Milwaukee series when we talked about it.
Yeah,
Judge Stewart will not allow such things.
I'm trying to tell you, you still would have won game 7.
This will be on the podcast and live forever.
Celtics fans, do you think you would have lost game 7 in Milwaukee? Celtics fans, really? Do you think you would have lost game 7 in Milwaukee?
Yep.
No, they don't. You do.
Well, apparently you're a Celtics fan because you don't either.
I am. I'm a green teamer, baby. I'm a Brad Bott green teamer.
That's what I thought.
Brad on Cape Cod. He's on Cape Cod. Yes, Brad.
Hey, Felger. I got a couple interesting takes for you guys. One is about the Sox and Price. I think you keep Price as a starter, but you don't let him pitch in New York. Not let him pitch in New York.
That's a tough one. If you're facing the Yankees in the ALCS, how do you get out of that? I mean, I guess there's a way to...
Just don't do it. Keep Eovaldi in the bullpen. Throw Johnson if you have to.
Brad.
Don't let him pitch in New
York. If you have to keep your ace out of certain buildings, you suck and you have no chance. Don't you? Like, you can't do it that way.
So you'd have to pitch him game two in Boston, and then his turn would come up game six in New York. But then you don't pitch him.
You'd have to wait for game seven and hope you get that far.
No, pitch him game seven at home because he would do so much better in game seven under pressure.
Right, there's no way to do it.
It's not going to work. Okay, sooner or later, you got to win in a road ballpark. Grow some nuts and win a game on the road. It's really that simple.
There was breaking news today on the Patriots front. Murray has it right here, and then we're back.
Sports Hub headlines.
Ahead of Friday night's third preseason game against the Carolina Panthers, the New England Patriots today have released veteran wide receiver Kenny Britt. Now, a nagging hamstring injury suffered in early June is what prevented Britt from fully participating in any training camp practices or playing in either of the Patriots' first two preseason games. Britt is also the third Patriots receiver to be released this summer, joining Jordan Matthews and Malcolm Mitchell. Left on the roster at wide receiver, you have Julian Edelman, of course, suspended for the first four games of regular season. Chris Hogan, Philip Dorsett, Cordero Patterson, Riley McCarron, Braxton Berrios, and something called Paul Turner. Also at Patriots practice today, running back Sony Michel, offensive tackle Marcus Cannon, linebacker Harvey Lange, and tight end Ryan Izzo all absent after also missing practice the last couple of days. After losing the first two games of this week's four-game series against the Indians, Red Sox look to get back on track tonight at Fenway Park with lefty Brian Johnson going for the Red Sox. Indians counter with righty Carlos Carrasco, who's been filthy as of late, 7-1 with a 1.73 earned run average in his last nine appearances. Some lineup tweaks. Red Sox start Blake Swihart at catcher, J.D. Martinez batting cleanup after he hit third in last night's 6-3 loss. And the New York Yankees today plays closer Aroldis Chapman on the 10-day disabled list with left knee tendonitis. This is a day after he left the Yankees' 2-1 win over the Marlins after throwing just six pitches in the top of the 12th. Chapman, fourth in the American League with 31 saves this year, joining injured Yankees Aaron Judge, Gary Sanchez, and Didi Gregorius on the 10-day deal. Headlines are brought to you by... who do we have here? Ah, yes. Deep Eddy Vodka, available in seven varieties, including delicious ruby red grapefruit, Deep Eddy Distilling Company, Austin, Texas, 40% alcohol by volume. Please day drink responsibly. I'm Jim Murray for Boston's Home for Sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update, 30 minutes.
It's Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub. Follow these guys on Twitter, at Felger and Maz.
I have no doubt right now that Cleveland, when the time comes, is going to pay him. Now, short term, I think Cleveland with LeBron and Isaiah and Kevin Love and that group, they're still better than everybody else in Eastern Conference.
Bringing Isaiah. Now, Skip, everybody keep talking about, well, Isaiah, the tremendous offensive weapon. I mean, Kyrie, the tremendous offensive weapon. IT is no slouch.
Oh.
He was second team All-NBA.
Oh.
What team was Kyrie last year?
I'm going to have to give the edge to Cleveland for this reason.
Well,
Cleveland got better in terms of their bench play.
What's your take on the trade?
I think that Cleveland got the better of the trade short-term and long-term. As far as the trade, I think that Danny Ainge somehow or another got fleeced.
So next year, Michael Rappaport, will Cleveland be better or worse than it was last year?
Cleveland will be better.
Better with Jake Crowder?
I think they get a bump out of this. I think that it will energize Cleveland, that locker room.
Ainge is one of the best wheelers and dealers in the league, and Altman got the best of him. I think Cleveland won this deal, and not
Nico. I love this trade for the Cavs. I think it's a good trade for the Celtics. I understand why they did it, but I love it for the Cavs. I think they're the clear winner. I give them an A, if not an A+.
Just watch this young general manager put on a nice little clinic in my mind. Why doubt him now that he made with that pick, the Brooklyn pick that they just got from Boston, that could be turned into something, a real asset who can help LeBron win now. So, yeah, I think they just move closer to keeping LeBron James.
Oh, I don't think it's close. The Cavaliers got the better deal. They're getting a package of players in return for Kyrie Irving. I think the big thing here is, Thomas and Irving is a one-for-one swap. It's not a huge downgrade for the Cavaliers. I mean, they're both, not very good defenders. They're both great offensive players. Obviously, Kyrie's...
If I'm a Celtics fan, I've got a tough time talking myself into this deal.
See, I give advantage Cavs on winning this trade right now.
Rob, they won the trade for this year,
and they want it.
Well,
the
here's what y'all not thinking about Isaiah Thomas. He's never played with anybody like LeBron James. The game just got easier for Isaiah Thomas.
So that was Jimmy Fowler. What, did you guys find it on the internet?
Yeah, I think it was on Awful Announcing.
Yeah, Jimmy, I found it on Old Takes Exposed on Twitter.
Yeah, Jimmy found it, yeah.
There's a Twitter handle called Old Takes Exposed.
Oh, it's great. It's tremendous.
Sounds good. That's why you try not to say anything, so you don't end up on Old Takes Exposed. That's the whole point.
No, you get trolled by
I'll take dumb Felger takes over No Takes Felger any day of the week.
Oh, but this one's so right. So that was put out today. And maybe that's what got me going. It's like, look at what idiots Cleveland are. And, you know, everyone, so that's everyone endorsing the trade the day it happened. The Kyrie trade was a year ago today. And those are all the pundits coming out and supporting the Cleveland trade, saying they won the trade a year ago. And the icecoldtakes.com or whatever is out there to say, look at these idiots. You know,
yeah, it's tremendous.
And maybe that's what got me going. Because, like, on the 12-month snapshot, the Celtics didn't get anything out of it. They didn't. They didn't get anything out of it. They got a couple more regular season wins than they would have ordinarily gotten.
Just a couple.
Yeah. Yep. Just a couple. Ultimately, what happened to them is what would have happened. They would have gone deep and lost to LeBron, and that's it.
So they won 53 with Isaiah Thomas, 55 with Kyrie, and they would have only dropped to like 51 without both of them?
No, I said around 48, 49. Mm. 47 to 49, somewhere in there.
Okay. So, you say so.
Yeah, I mean, look, they were winning playoff games without those guys. They went 14-8 in the regular season without Kyrie last year. 14-8 last year without Kyrie is a 52-win pace. So I don't think that's I think I'm being totally fair to say 47-48 when they were actually on a 52-win pace without him. So, like, I'm just using the facts. I mean,
Right. They beat Chicago three times, the Knicks, Atlanta, Orlando, Sacramento, Phoenix, Brooklyn, all the dregs of the league.
Hold on, is that all 22 games?
No, I just gave you 9 off the top of my head, basically, that I looked at quickly.
Or did you just take the 9 bad ones and leave out the good ones?
No, I took the 9 that at least 9 of the wins were against absolutely horrendous teams.
Okay, there's 5 more wins in there.
Right, so that's now 5-8 against the other 13, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know what the good teams they beat. All I'm saying is there's a lot of bad teams in the East. They were on a 52-win pace without him. So he got you a couple more regular season wins. He brought far more entertainment. Like Murray said, you won the trade because your TV ratings went up. I mean, if that's how you judge trades, fine. I guess he brought more excitement.
I'm just saying, if you're in Wick's shoes, you look at it as a win.
Yeah, he made you better. No question. He made you better and more interesting and more entertaining and all those things. But it didn't ultimately lead to anything. You know, we also, another jumping off point, we talked about the Chris Sale trade. Because Michael Kopech, the pitcher that you gave up, made his debut last night and dealt and looks like a really good young prospect. And in Chicago, they're, again, taking their pants off for the guy. Like, he's the savior. He was throwing bullets last night. And I said, you know, we would all do that trade again. And by the way, I would do the Kyrie trade again. And I'm telling you, ultimately, it'll be a clear win for you. So don't put words in my mouth. I do the trade. Ultimately, you'll probably win it. It's just after year one, you didn't get more out of it than Cleveland did. But the jumping off point was the Kopech thing. And I said, ultimately, if the Red Sox don't go deep, 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 and Chris Sale doesn't do his part on a championship run, and Kopech turns into a player, you will have lost that trade.
Sure.
Right? So I'm just applying the same thing to this.
Yeah, but in that one, you talk in the future tense. You say, we'll have lost that trade.
Right.
In this one, you're saying that they're already behind.
I'm not saying they're behind, I suppose, yes. The year one snapshot, Cleveland got more out of it than you did. That's all. And the big thing is that he got hurt. If he got hurt, if he doesn't get hurt, you beat Cleveland, you go to the finals, and you win year one, slam dunk, no questions asked. The thing is, you traded for a guy who was damaged, and he ended up being damaged, and you ended up still where you began, which is behind Cleveland. Now, you'll pass him next year, and like it'll all come out. You'll all be able to do your Celtics victory dance. I just think on the year one snapshot, it's not quite there yet.
I'm not interested in doing any Celtic victory dance. You can take that up with Celtics fans. I'm telling you, in the year one snapshot, I think you conveniently gloss over the 41-19 record they had with Kyrie. That's all. And you assume that they would win pretty close to that without him, and I don't. Pretty much begins and ends there.
There it is. The rub of the matter. Billy in Lakeville, what do you got?
Hey, Mike, how are we doing?
I'm hanging in.
Tony, just bet on the Red Sox during the regular season and drop them because they give me too much else's during the playoffs anyway. Hey, a quick thing. I mean, if Haywood was playing and took up the slack, then we wouldn't have this conversation right now, would we?
Nobody got hurt.
Well, you know, I'm asking you, would we have the conversation? You wouldn't have nothing else to do but watch volleyball down the tape or whatever you do.
So I don't understand the question exactly.
Well, the question is, you know, what's what Hawford and Baines going to do?
They're not going
to pass Cleveland with those two guys, but you had Haywood in there, they'd be right to the finals,
so
correct?
If they had Haywood, they would have gotten past Cleveland, don't you think?
Oh, okay, of course they would have.
Probably.
And then there'd be none of this talking about how bad.
That's true.
How bad the trade was, how bad this was and everything else.
The trade wasn't bad. It's a simple statement that was purposely meant to aggravate you, and it's worked, but it is also true. It's also a fact. That Cleveland got more out of it in year one than you did. But that's all that is. That's not saying they won the trade or he wouldn't do it again. It's just, and the jumping off point was the cold hard takes. What do they call it again? Old takes exposed?
Yes, old takes.
Old takes exposed.
That's brilliant Twitter follow.
Scary, scary sounding.
I'm going to have to.
That's why I'm not on Twitter, man,
Jimmy, are we in there?
Oh, got it.
Oh, I've been on there multiple times for my dumb takes.
Oh, got to be like a.
You've been there, but you don't look at your mention, so there's that.
I have to have been in there more than once.
Oh, you have been.
So, there's that. We've got Sully in Watertown. Oh, and we got a super long word. So let me just final word. So let me just do this. Sully in Watertown, quickly go.
Hey, real quick. Carrasco is in deep doo doo tonight. He's gonna get lit up. You'll watch it. Call back tomorrow. And you'll hear it first from me.
Okay, Sully and Watertown.
Old take exposed, take note.
216, you'll be the first call. If they win, if they lose, we'll hear you on oldtakesexposed.com. We said if the Red Sox come back and win tonight with Carrasco on the mound for Cleveland, who's been the best pitcher in baseball just about since the All-Star break, and you're throwing, what's his name, Brian Johnson. If you win tonight and then old Mr. Happy there picks up tomorrow, that's a nice little finish to the series. They would have shown you something, right?
Absolutely, yes, especially because Price to me is in a must-win scenario either way. And when I say that, it's either avoid the sweep or get the split, and more importantly, he's facing a guy he should beat. The pitching matchup favors the Red Sox in the finale more decisively than any other game in the series.
Okay, it was a particularly bitchy and contentious program today, so we will relive it in a extra long and special final word right after this.
Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you are looking for the best deal on tires, there is only one place to go. That's Town Fair Tire. The best prices and great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire.
Nobody.
So, an action-packed final word here. I'm looking at 5 pieces of audio to play from today's show. A very bitchy show.
Yep, longer than 4 minutes today, Murray.
Yeah, when it came to, as this is labeled here by executive producer James Stewart, Felger, dumbest take ever on Irving. So let's get to that.
All right, 1 year ago today, Kyrie Irving comes to the Boston Celtics. I love revisiting this. Grand slam home run for the Celtics, Maz. Clear win for the Celtics on the trade.
I mean, I think so. Yeah, I think it's a win for the Celtics. Now, look, Irving's got to stay, but as of right now, I think the Celtics get the better end of the deal.
Yeah, I think it's a win for the Celtics. Tell me why it's not.
Oh, my God, a million reasons.
Like?
Well, I mean, okay, not a million. Irving for the pick. That's the trade. And at the end of 1 year, you did not get Kyrie Irving when it mattered.
You're on crack.
And Cleveland walked away with the 8th overall pick. Who got more out of it after 12 months? It's not even close. It's Cleveland.
Heroin, actually. I think you're on heroin.
What about you? Tell me. If Irving stays in Cleveland and they don't get the 8th overall pick, what happens? They still go to the finals. They still lose to Golden State. And then after the year, the thing gets blown up and they have no 8th overall pick. They did well. You beat those teams without Irving.
Right, because you had home court. You don't beat Milwaukee without home court based on how that series went.
I'm sorry, how many games did the Sixers series go?
Five.
Seems to me like you didn't need home court to beat
would
the Sixers.
Would they have gotten by Milwaukee without home court?
No, they wouldn't have.
Like on the one hand, when we were discussing when we were discussing it at playoff time, you were saying the only thing that matters in that league is home court.
Now we needed home court to beat the Bucks.
Yeah,
got
I said it.
That's what you said.
So basically, you're the Bucks.
That's what you said.
Good to know. God, no. This is the way
Michael,
you talk about...
that's what you said. Not us. You.
You're trading an established player for an unknown lottery pick.
You traded three guys.
Okay, and they got three picks that all ended up in the top six.
Maz, that's not a good comp. The
No, it's not a stupid comp. And you told me Cleveland did well in the deal.
But to
they
say
traded
well,
one... No. Yeah,
and the Bucks traded Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in 1975 and got Junior Bridgman and done it. It's a stupid comp.
No, they traded one established player for an unknown lottery pick, and the pick ended up eight. The Celtics traded multiple guys and ended up with three picks all in the top six.
It's just the wrong comp. It's the wrong comp, Anthony.
No, it's just a bad comp because you don't understand it.
I do understand it. It was a three. It's just a bad, trust
me. No, that's anything that doesn't fit your argument's a bad comp.
That's a bad comp.
Okay.
But Paul George is better if you want to.
That's right. I forgot. Anybody else's way of thinking is wrong.
Who got more out of it in your
No, one? Again, it's just it's, what it is exposing your elementary way of thinking of it.
No.
Yes, it is.
Cleveland still beat you, and they got to pick. You lost to Cleveland and didn't pick. Now, but again, now you're
talking
about something
else. But again, no, it's because you're making it too simple. You're boiling it down to something too simple.
I am.
Okay, so at least you admit that. Then what's the point of having the discussion?
That was boiled down pretty well, Jimmy.
It was, excellent.
2 minutes
yes.
plus.
Excellent.
A lot
I mean, yet. That's a half an hour, 35 minutes yeah. of just bitching back and forth
about
in 3 minutes.
About 30 seconds into it, it was like someone shot me off in Cape Canaveral.
It's awesome.
I don't know what happened.
No, it's good.
Well, Maz, you made the reference.
We're due for one of those.
Multiples. If Mike was on heroin, why heroin? Well, Fred in Springfield concerned about the scourge of China White in one certain city that is going to be getting a minor league baseball team pretty soon.
Fred in Springfield, go ahead.
Yeah, I got to tell you, between Springfield and the Pawtucket moving to Worcester, Mass., it's not going to be good. Because a couple of those, we're talking about the heroin capital of the world.
Wait, hold on. I mean, the heroin capital of the world is Worcester or Providence?
No, Worcester and Springfield, Mass.
Those are the heroin capitals of the world?
Oh, they're right up there in the Northeast. Oh, yeah. So, you know, I'm telling you right now, a couple of those players moved from Pawtucket to... the Worcester, they get a little taste of it.
Oh, no, that's not what. So they're all going to get hooked on heroin? Really? You think that's going to happen?
I mean, it hasn't happened in Portland, where the Sea Dogs are. I think that might actually be the worst in the country, and none of those players are becoming junkies overnight because they play double-A ball up there. Yeah, so take that, Fred.
That was quite a take.
Wait until the Woosox get a hold of that heroin. Wait until they get a taste of it.
Rusny Castillo getting hooked.
Putting the woo in Woosox.
let's keep the prospects out of Portland, too, while we're at it.
Well, at least he was more of an upbeat Red Sox caller, I would say, unlike this montage of older Red Sox callers.
Oh, God, this is it is great, especially when you take Red Sox callers early in the show. The average age is Walker, put your teeth... These guys just put their teeth in every time they call. It's classic.
Oh, my God. It's unbelievable.
Daryl in Chelmsford is up next. Hi, Daryl.
How you doing there?
Good, Daryl. What do you got?
Yeah, you guys think... you know, I like your show and everything, yeah, but you guys must think that you are Mr. Know-it-alls and, you know...
You know, they're going to play tough teams. I know who they play. You know, I'm a diehard Boston Red Sox fan. I respect your show, and I like it, you know. But there ain't no ifs, ands, buts, and beans about it, you know. It's just like they're going to play five more games and six with that thing. It's 3-14, and they're going to play 11, they're going to play 8 or 17 games to play. You don't count the Braves out neither.
Okay, yeah. Daryl, thank you. I'm going to let you go.
We're getting Paul Feinbaum's callers now.
did the state of Massachusetts sell Chelmsford to Georgia?
Stop
I'd like
this.
To meet my brother, Daryl.
Here's
my other brother, Daryl.
Kevin on Cape Cod. Hi, Kevin.
How you doing, Maz? Mike, thanks for having me.
Okay.
I'm good.
Last night, overrated. What do you think?
Last night, overrated. What do you think? No. Well, I don't think the Red Sox are overrated. I think they... and boy, wow. You take Red Sox calls, and it is literally... This is so true. Like that the cliche about the demo is just, my God, they just woke up from their afternoon nap and they took their meds and put their teeth in, and then they call us.
I told you, my problem with Red Sox fans in the last 15 years is that they've lost their teeth, so to speak.
My problem is that the average age is death. Here's Bob in Marlboro. Hi, Bob. What do you got? You're up next with Felger and Maz. Hi.
Yeah, hi, Mike and Maz. This is Bob. Hey, the last night's game, the three pitchers that gave up a run and the thing, you got Kelly, never put Kelly in,
with the one run lead.
I agree.
It was 3-2.
Well, who are you going to put in, Bob?
What's wrong with Brazier?
Excellent point by him.
Do you think those guys are like, they all live together and never mind.
No, they're all on the same floor at the same retirement home. And it's
sort of where I was headed.
Getting ready for the early bird special. So they get up around 2-ish.
We're going to call Felga. Yeah.
They probably watch the show in the lounge, right?
No question.
They get the TV there and they're like, Eddie, pass me the phone when you're done.
And the Jell-O.
Get ourselves a nice meal, huh? I forget what this is. There was so much bitching today. It says Felger attendance numbers?
Oh, no. It's the ESPN box score.
Ah, right.
Because it's maddening. I was trying to find out the attendance of that game this morning. For whatever reason, I must have been on ESPN. They don't have the attendance in the box score anymore.
I noticed that.
MLB.com does it.
Do they have time of game in the ESPN
box
score?
No, they don't.
I've noticed that.
Isn't that irritating?
So annoying.
It is. It's irritating. It's all hell.
Are you trying to cover up? Are you trying to cover up for the fact that the games take too long and no one's there? God, that's annoying.
It is. It's so irritating.
Oh, thank you for saying this. It makes me so angry.
I bet someone at the league reached out and told them to stop doing it.
Well, no, but they put it on the MLB site.
They do. They put it on the MLB site. But I'll get it for you.
But I go to the MLB site. It's too busy. It's too busy. It gums up my computer. I don't know how to figure it out. I get all frustrated. I just shut it down. Like, fine, I'm not going to find out the time of game or the attendance. F you and your stupid website.
Say the two guys who are criticizing the people in the nursing home.
I can't get this thing to work.
Yeah. Oh, God, it is. It's so irritating.
Oh my God. Time of game and attendance.
Seriously, if you go right to the bottom, it's where it is in every box score I've ever read my whole life.
Annoying.
And ESPN now doesn't do it.
Oh, drives me bananas.
Well, finally, we have one of these today as well.
And now.
Oh, yeah.
How to tell when the hosts aren't listening.
What we don't really think. It's 8 games with 35 to go.
No.
And yes, the Red Sox have a tougher schedule down the stretch. They have to face New York twice, Houston,
Atlanta.
They have some good teams coming.
Yankees.
Okay, twice, as I said. But so, yes, it toughens up, but...
Oh, sorry, I'm listening.
It's okay.
This has been How to Tell When the Hosts Aren't Listening.
I think we covered all the bases there.
Yeah, that's all.
I don't know why your Kyrie take sent me into orbit like it did today.
It was intended to.
I think it was your tone. It was your tone. At one point, you called Murray a dumbbat or something like that.
Dingbat.
Dingbat. Dingbat.
Dingbat.
And you said it with such ferocity. I'm like, that's mean. Seriously, that's mean. Like you calling Murray a dingbat.
No, because I think I said, I'm not saying this. And then Murray said, well, this. I think. I can't remember.
I'm used to it at this point, frankly.
Sorry.
I got multiple text messages that the anger in my voice was like next level yelling
awesome.
At you guys.
Murray, Google that.
Yeah. No, I'd rather be called a dingbat than hear that.
All right. Baseball reporters next. What do you got, Maz?
Okay. So a number of things I want to catch up on from that game last night, if I can find my notes because I wrote them down. First
Google
of all,
it, Murray.
We will give you the setup of this series between the Red Sox and Indians. Where is this going? Because I think it's heading towards an unbelievable climax. That Cleveland bullpen last night, and one of the criticisms we had of the Red Sox earlier in the year was that they couldn't beat good teams. So where are we on that scale now when we assess it in the big picture?
All right, plenty of stuff to get to on the Red Sox. Call Maz for some baseball convo. 617-779-0985. No commercials, just an update with Murray, and then you get Maz. We're back at it tomorrow at 2. We'll talk to you then, Anthony.
Bye.